It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, October the 16th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this program, is here with me to make this show run. And we have a great program in store for you, as usual, and it's a packed evening. First up, after the break, we will have yoga teacher Steve Kane, who has been on this program a couple of times before, and he'll be joining us from Westchester, New York, this time to talk about mindful eating. And later in the program, musician Sissy Gillio will call in from the West Coast to talk about her music, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And Laura Galazunas will report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, as the new season of winter visitors arrives. We'll find out what they're doing down there in Vallarta. And I will talk about the power of forgiveness. This is actually a continuation of my discussion last week when I talked about surviving and forgiving those who criticize us for following our own calling or our own path. And so today I will talk a bit more about how to forgive and why it's a good idea to forgive. And throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855. Email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email address is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, @ drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel. And my Twitter address is marakek. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, again, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with all of the information, the web posts, the website, I mean, the links to the websites that my guests talk about on this program will be posted there as well later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can also hear the podcast of this program as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com /yourgoldenyears. And for information about previous shows, to listen to previous shows, and learn about upcoming programs, again, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and blogtalkradio.com /yourgoldenyears. And also follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And that's also the best way to find out when my blogs come out in Huffington Post and get the link to go directly to read those blogs. All right. So if this is the first time that you are tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTS. Part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this great resource for veterans and for their families, you can look them up at heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me, you can send me an email to Dr. Mara at drmarakarpel.com. You can go through my website, or you can give me a call at 512-626-7777. 6973. This program is produced by Compass Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909 or send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. And this program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. And this program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. All right, so we are going to take a quick break to play some of our sponsors' commercials. Don't go anywhere because when we come back, we'll be joined by yoga instructor Steve Kane to talk about mindful eating. So don't go anywhere.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years, right here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again from New York, certified yoga instructor Steve Kane is on the phone to talk about mindful eating. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Mara. Thanks for having me on the program again.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm well. Glad to have you back once again, and I think this is a really important topic, so I'm glad that we're getting to talk about it. Why don't we start off, though, with, for people who haven't heard you before on this show, with your background. What is your background?
Well, for starters, I'm a 200-hour certified yoga instructor. I've been teaching for about 5 years and practicing for about 15 years. I teach at Yoga Shivaya, which is a yoga studio in Tarrytown, New York. And I was actually overweight before I learned about this idea of mindful eating that kind of came as an outgrowth of my yoga practice.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to all that, I'm a father of an 8-year-old daughter and a 21-year-old son. And I run a creative agency that does a lot of work in medical education and web technology.
Okay. All right. So So let's get to this topic about mindful eating. And so I think it would probably be a good idea to start with the opposite, mindless eating. What are some examples of mindless eating?
I think the one that probably most of us have experienced in this culture is movie theater popcorn. I remember being really shocked when I first they started putting the calorie counts up in New York, and you know just this you know the, what's called the large bag of popcorn, which is like the standard size, has like 1,200 calories, and then you know putting in a big gulp on top of it, you know I'm not even talking about the bucket. But you know, I've sat there and eaten an entire bucket of popcorn and you know a large soda, and you know you're putting you know north of 2,000 calories in your system, and the thing that is you know really problematic about it is that you're not even paying attention to what you're eating because your mind is on the movie, you know. So I think that's a you know really clear example of what mindless eating can look like. Another one I just kind of personally experienced when I was young. I was in college, and one time a buddy of mine and I went to McDonald's, and you know he ate a Big Mac, a large fry, and a large Coke from the counter to the door. So he basically ate the Big Mac in like three bites, the large fries in three bites, and the large Coke in three slurps. And I remember just being you know, shocked by that. It was many years later, he told me it was kind of a well-practiced little bit of performance art. But it's still a really good example of what mindless eating looks like, you know, because you couldn't possibly be enjoying the food eating that quickly. So, you know, that's the real practice of mindful eating is to do the opposite, you know, to slow down, and then be kind of reverent and to really make eating a meditation. And in so doing, not only do you eat less, but you enjoy everything more. So there's a real mm-hmm. benefit to that approach.
So let's back up a little bit. What are you talked about the calories, you know, eating 2,000 calories while watching a movie is like, that's like the more than most people eat in a day if they're trying to keep a healthy weight. What are some other risks of mindless eating?
Well, there's some research that says that income and insecurity actually leads to obesity because, you know, you as a being want to survive. So if you have fluctuations in income, you know, this fear of not having enough food will lead you to really aggressively want to put on weight. And that was something I actually experienced myself. I paid my way through college and graduate school while working full time. So I was just always strapped for cash. I never had enough money for food. And for 1 week, actually one summer, while I was working construction during the summer during college, I ate nothing but pasta and garlic butter for three meals a day for the week because I was the cheapest thing I could possibly think of cooking.
Wow.
So soon after that, one of my first jobs had a free catered lunch. And, you know, that was the year that I put on about 30 pounds working there. Because, you know, I having essentially you know, not being starving in the sense of, you know, starving to death, but, you know, living on a very lean budget, it was just irresistible to kind of pile that lunch plate up with whatever they were serving.
Right.
And so, I, you know, having experienced that, I know that, this biological imperative to eat can really override, you know, kind of that higher mind thing of, you know, I need to eat more thoughtfully, you know, you eat healthier, you eat less, or whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish, you know, that base or impulse, certainly if survival feels like it's at stake, but, you know, oftentimes, you know, there are other things, or, you know, eating for emotional comfort or for other reasons that play into that kind of need to overeat or eat mindlessly just to kind of medicate ourselves.
Right, right. I certainly can understand the what you're talking about, being in college and graduate school and eating whatever you can find.
Right.
You know, we would eat at the happy hour at bars because they would put all kinds of really, you know, all kinds of food that was really terrible
right.
for us. Just because
but when you're
free.
When you're that hungry, there's no food is terrible, you know.
That's right. So mindful eating, it sounds like, you know, you talked about that you enjoy your food. What else is included in mindful eating?
Well, the first insight I had was I had done a yoga retreat pretty soon after I started practicing yoga. I just went up for a weekend and this place in the Berkshires that had a silent breakfast. And it really woke me up to this fact that, oh, you know what, I'm never really paying attention to what I'm eating. That act of, you know, just sitting there quietly, not talking, not reading, not
mm-hmm.
looking at TV, not having any other stimulus, and just really focusing on your food for the time that you're eating, you know, was a revelation. Really was the beginning of my changing my relationship with food. So, you know, I should step back for a second and say that, look, everybody has their own relationship with food. You know, everybody's on their own journey, and none of this is dogma. But this idea that
mm-hmm.
mindful eating as a practice of learning to become more present when you're eating, I think is a really useful one. So, you know, you slow down, you relax, and you learn to really savor what you're eating and see if that can be, a leverage point that you can start to change your relationship with food if you feel like it needs to be changed. If nothing else happens, just by being more present, you know, you're going to enjoy it more. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's the act of bringing your consciousness to the present moment is one of the big benefits of yoga, and it actually applies to eating as well. You know, that eating can become, this relationship with food changes as it becomes a meditation. You know, feel like you're having kind of a congress with the experience of eating, the taste, the smells, you know, the experience of making the food, all of it. It changes, in this practice of mindful eating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So other benefits to eating mindfully in terms of nutrition that we get from the food?
Well, yeah, I think that a couple things happen there. I mean, so there's the first big one for me that was a shocker was that, just by being more present, I'm going to enjoy everything more. But then the flip side of that is I end up losing those 30 pounds, over the course of, it took me a very short period of time to gain the weight. You know, I was slower losing it. But because you're enjoying what you're eating more, you're being more present, you tend to eat less and you tend to eat more healthfully. And, you start to disconnect, if there's those emotional food triggers. One of the ones for me was, and I never really had that much of a sweet tooth, but, it's kind of nice to have something sweet after a meal. And I started to realize that, the only thing I really care about at the end of the day is, like, really dark chocolate. So I just
mm-hmm.
kind of winnowed out, like, cheesecake, not that interested. I mean, that may be something really important for somebody else. But I started to, by being more mindful about my food choices, which are the ones that are really meaningful for me and which ones really resonate. And then also being able to swap out healthier foods to replace less healthy foods. So,
mm-hmm.
For instance, that urge to throw popcorn at your face while you're watching a movie, I still do that. I just don't do movie theater popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
I do, I get kosher salt and some organic popcorn. I pop it up in an air popper and a little bit of olive oil, and it's delicious,
mm-hmm.
And has a tiny fraction of the calories that the movie popcorn has. So, it's a process, but by slowing down, you also eat less. You know, if you want a slice of pizza, like, enjoy the heck out of that slice of pizza. And then there's the less of a desire to go back because you've satisfied the real thing. Most Americans are getting enough calories anyway, so it's not about being underfed. It's that emotional gratification, wanting to really feel like you've tasted and enjoy your meal. But if you're not present, then that's the thing that's going to lead you to go back and, you know, have another slice or snack or any of that.
Right. So you get to enjoy it and you don't have to keep eating more. I think we push that here. Americans have gotten really heavy because we push more is better.
Right.
But you don't eat more if you're enjoying what you have.
Most like half of the world lives on a bowl of rice a day. You know, this idea of eating three square meals is kind of an American concept. Part of this is taking the time to listen to what your body is really telling you. So by slowing down, you become more aware of how quickly you're getting full, so you don't overeat. The Okinawans recommend, I think, Hari Hachibu, I apologize to any Japanese speakers out there, which is only eat until you're 80% full. You know, so even that just is a practice of mindfulness, of how full am I at this moment? To stop before you're 100% full, because if you're 100% full, then you're essentially stretching your stomach out. But if you only eat 80% full, then, you know, the stomach is going to retain its shape, and then, you know, you're going to continue to eat at a more modest rate.
Right. And, you know, I have noticed that if I eat quickly, I don't notice how full I am until afterwards.
Right. Exactly, right? It's not just how you eat, but what you eat, you know. So we find that Americans, I've read research that 2/3 of the average American proteins are based on corn because we overproduce corn. Michael Pollan, The Omnivore's Dilemma, recommends eating only real food instead. You know, so instead of processed food, which is based on corn syrup and, you know, corn starches, you know, all the snacks and, the stuff that you get in fast food joints, you know,
right.
The McDonald's milkshake is based on corn. It's not milk, you know. Avoiding processed foods, so only buy things that have five ingredients on the label to make sure that you're not eating heavily processed food. Or another good tip is just to avoid shopping down the supermarket aisles where all the packaged food are, and instead shop the perimeter of the supermarket where you've got all your fresh fruits and vegetables, and then, you know, your refrigerated cases with, you know, dairies and meats. Those are all on the outside edge of the supermarket, but it's down the aisles where you have the processed stuff.
Right. So here's a question, because I know you mentioned this last time, and I really like this concept. Why is it that our first bite of food always tastes the best? I know I look forward to that first bite of something that I've really been, you know, something I've really wanted, and it's finally in front of me, and that first bite tastes the best, but halfway through, it's not as, you know, as interesting to me.
Right, because that's the first bite, the moment that you're paying attention. So, it's a really insightful question, but you can extend that moment of paying attention longer, you know. So, that's the meditative part of the practice. Meditation is a practice, right? So, it's not going to happen instantaneously, but, you know, the next time you're sitting down with something that you really just love, that first bite is glorious, and you shut your eyes and, you know, you savor it for a while and you put your fork down, try to do that a couple times. You know, try to extend that experience of the first bite further into the meal. And then you'll find that, silent breakfast, you know, you can start to extend your intention throughout the meal. And then you dovetail in this idea of, you know, where is this food coming from? How is it created? Is it healthy for me? And then, you know, like everything that led up to having the meal and then everything that happens next, which is, you know, when am I done? You know, when am I full? And just slowing down and putting the fork down occasionally is a way for allowing that awareness to start to build. And then you're really there at that point. You know, then the process of shedding pounds is actually pleasurable because you're kind of having peak enjoyment of the experience of eating and none of the guilt associated with overeating. And, you know, you're starting to move towards something that's much more in line with, you know, what you really need physically and emotionally.
So we can keep enjoying the same, you know, keep enjoying the food even as well as the first bite all the way through the meal.
Yeah, that's the, make it a meditation, Right, which is actually an argument for if you're going to eat something unhealthy, rather than do it like in social company when you're not really paying attention, you know, you're eating the, you know, the dark chocolate cake while you're talking to somebody, you know, have that be your private meditation, you know, or sit down with yourself if you want, like, you know, once a week or whatever, that's the time you want to really enjoy that. That's a good way of doing it. You know, the social eating thing can, and it can also trip you up.
So what about stress? How does that lead to eating more mindlessly?
Well, I mean, for starters, it's, you know, obviously eating is a really easy way to comfort ourselves. You know, say you've had a rough day or if you've had an emotional outburst with somebody and you want to give yourself comfort, that's, you know, for a lot of us, it's, you know, that's an easy way to just, you know, make ourselves feel a little bit better about what's going on in the world. But there's a lot of research that's going on right now that's showing how what you affects your health, you know, in ways that most of us aren't even aware of, which is that, you know, 70% of Americans die from food-related chronic illnesses, and 70% of what Americans eat is processed. And a vegan diet reduces healthcare costs by 70%. So that's a lot of 70%. They all kind of match up. You know, there's this, you know, there's a through line in terms of unhealthy eating and chronic disease. You know, diabetes, as you know, is, you know, a chronic problem in America right now. And also, it's, you know, a small change has a big impact. So like an 8-ounce can of soda a day actually doubles your risk of diabetes, right? And that's huge.
That is huge.
Right, and a 20-ounce can of soda a day will add 26 pounds in a year.
Wow.
So, and then there's correlations between sugar being a primary prerequisite for cancer. So, you know, our relationship with food as a country is problematic. You know, in the 1950s, America's biggest expense after housing was food, and now it's healthcare. So with the introduction of industrial food, we've basically traded off healthier, more expensive food for cheap food that leads to all kinds of healthcare problems.
So we're eating ourselves to death.
So, you know, like Thanksgiving was my favorite holiday, but it's also, you know, it's a feast. It's a practice of pigging out. And, you know, and the way it was kind of experienced and, you know, when my kids were growing up, it really seemed like from Thanksgiving all the way to Easter, there was just too much food in the house. You know, there would always be people would be bringing in treats for one reason or another. So it was, you know, it ended up being just like a, you know, a 6-month-long feast. You know, meanwhile, and I'm sure that's true for a lot of people, but in a lot of other cultures, you know, they have traditions of fasting, which we don't have. And when I finally rolled around to trying to fast, I realized that, you know, I really don't need to eat three meals three squares a day. I did a 3-day fast, and it was fine. And if someone out there wants to try it, a good one is do a cup of fresh lemonade sweetened with honey and a little shake of ground pepper, and that you can drink as much water as you want, and you drink that for your meals. And that's enough. You don't really need that many calories to survive or function.
Right. I think we certainly, like you said, we're Americans are not calorie deprived.
Well, no, not at all. And again, it's this, it goes all the way back to overproducing corn, which led to the marketing of industrial foods and all of this. I mean, it's been a huge trend towards, what was it? I think KFC was talking about the fourth meal, like they're trying to invent this concept of, a fourth meal. So, have a late night dinner before bed. We're being marketed to kind of relentlessly in order to move all of this product, because people are profiting on people eating. So, as we talked about last time, there's also this whole thing of our, stress and our sympathetic nervous system, and how, that leads into, desire to medicate ourselves in one way or another, and food is just one way that people do that.
Right. So, in the few minutes that we have left, do you have any more tips for listeners that could help them? You mentioned slowing down when eating, maybe eating in a non-distracted way, and, you talked about a couple of other things, but are there some more tips that you can give for listeners to eat more mindfully?
Sure. It's good to be aware of why you're eating. So if you feel like there are emotional triggers that you've been stressed out and you're trying to comfort yourself, it's good just start with awareness. Try not to be self-critical. It's good to pick your poisons. I talked about desserts. If something doesn't really excite you, then, why are you eating it? Eat the things that really are things that give you real pleasure. You shouldn't eat it for a few hours before bed. Your body needs to be awake in order to digest properly. And, this thing of cellular inflammation leading to chronic disease, I think really key to long-term health, as far as this conversation relates to that. And then finally, I'd say reflect without judging on what you've eaten during the day and why. Kind of go through an inventory and think of what your meals were and what was the big meal and whether they were balanced and, how much processed food was there. And I think that quick mental accounting is just a good way to, be aware kind of in the aggregate, how am I doing? And finally, I would say, improving an eating habit even slightly over a long period of time will have an effect. Like I said earlier, it didn't take me that long to put on a lot of weight. It took me longer to get rid of it, but I wasn't starving myself. I was eating, mindfully and healthy and really enjoying, cooking and eating. And, over time it had this beneficial effect. It was really a side effect of just becoming more mindful.
Right.
I wasn't intentionally dieting. It was, it was a side effect of this mindfulness practice.
That has the most lasting effect, right?
Right, because you're changing your habits in ways that are, useful to you, and not beating yourself up by, not sticking to a program or not seeing the result immediately, I do think this idea, most primary of all is just, try to enjoy eating more by being more present. And that's where that's the biggest benefit of all. Then everything else kind of flows out of that. It becomes effortless.
Right. So Steve, before we go, how can people contact you if they want more information? Where can people take your yoga classes and so on?
Yeah, sure. You can reach me at kanesteve@me.com, kanesteve@me.com. And I teach at Yoga Shavaya in Tarrytown, New York. So they can yogashavaya.com and see the schedule. And really happy to have the chance to talk about this. I mean, it's really made a big change in my life, you know, to kind of reprogram the way I related to food.
Yeah, I'm glad that you came on, because we talk about eating healthier food, but I think being able to enjoy healthier food is really an important part of that. So, thank you.
It's my pleasure.
And I will eventually be there to take one of your yoga classes. So
I'll happy to have you back. Let me know.
All right. Great to talk to you again. I hope that you'll be back on the program again sometime soon.
All right, Mara. Thank you.
All right. You have a good night.
You.
Bye-bye. All right. So stick around. We have much more to come after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaricarpell.com. All right, so before I get to talking about forgiveness, why it's important and how to do it, just to fill you in on some news. If you have been tuning in and to previous shows, then you may already know that when we have a guest that comes into the studio, in our Austin studio, we have been videotaping the interview, and we've been doing that since the beginning of this year, and we have several interviews that have been videotaped that you can actually watch the video, which adds an extra, I think, it adds an extra something than just listening right here. Keep listening here, but this is an extra, this is a perk. And you can see those videos that have already been edited and uploaded by going to Vimeo, Vimeo.com, and then search for Dr. Mara Carpell and Your Golden Years, and the directions for how to view the videos will be on that page. Also, my Huffington Post blog, I have a new one coming out very soon, any day now, and you can find out when it is published by following me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpell, Your Golden Years, or you can just go to my website and take a look. And if you go to my website, drmaricarpell.com, then you'll click on publications or on blogs, and you'll see all of the Huffington Post blogs, including the latest ones. And the most recent one that was published was about a month ago, and that was How to Embrace Life Again After Losing a Loved One, and you can find that on my website. You can also go to Huffington Post directly to their website and put in a search for Mara Carpell, and I think you will find my page with all of my blogs on it. So keep your eye open. There will be another one coming out soon, and as I said, you'll hear about it first if you follow me on Facebook. All right, so to talk about forgiveness, last week I talked about surviving and forgiving your critics, because you know, one of the experiences that I've had and that I witness people having is that when you start to take a new direction in your life, when you decide to follow your calling or to even create a healthier lifestyle for yourself, there will be people in your life who criticize that. And some of that may be due to their concern, and some of that may be due to their jealousy. And then I think it's really important to be able to keep on going. If you feel that you are going in the right direction, you've looked into it, you're taking all of the necessary steps, then it's important to keep going and to forgive your critics. I think forgiveness is really important for a lot of things, not just in that situation, but, you know, we're in a pretty tense time these days with people constantly arguing with each other about what's going on in the world and what's going on in this country. And some of those people may be your family or friends and or close friends that you don't want to lose relationships with. I've also just sent in my latest blog to Huffington Post, which is about relationships and keeping relationships going. And one of the big parts of keeping our relationships going and strong and healthy is that we forgive. And forgiveness is really important for ourselves and our own mental health. And I think this relates to what Kane was just talking about with mindful eating and how we eat when we're eat more unhealthy food when we're under stress. And one of those stresses is being angry and holding a grudge. And some people can hold grudges for years. And whenever they think about the person that they hold a grudge towards, they feel stressed out and they might eat to medicate themselves from those feelings. So it has that negative health effect on us when we hold a grudge. But anger in itself causes a lot of stress hormones, which I've talked about many times, about how the overproduction of stress hormones, cortisol, epinephrine, norepinephrine, causes health problems. And just continuously producing those hormones and chemicals can break down almost every organ of the human body. And not to mention that it also puts us in a perpetually bad mood. We just don't feel happy. How can you feel happy if you're walking around with a bunch of grudges? So you know, it's really important to try to forgive. And I know that that's a lot easier said than it is done. But it's really worth at least trying and putting some effort into it. And just the intention of forgiving somebody has a lot of benefit toward being able to forgive them. So just having that intention in itself will lead you closer towards forgiveness. And remember that when you forgive someone, you're really not doing it for that person. You're doing it for yourself. And when you accomplish that goal of actually forgiving someone, you will feel a release of tension and a weight taken off your shoulders. So it's really, really powerful to forgive. So in relationships, one tip that was given by Dr. Dave Ricco, who was on this program not too long ago, in order to prevent creating situations where you hurt someone else's feelings or they hurt your feelings, is that when you disagree with someone, keeping the disagreement focused on the topic discussed rather than flinging personal attacks at each other. So, and I think that this is the problem that causes so much anger and grudges to be held between close friends and family when people are even disagreeing about something not related to the relationship. You're disagreeing about the election or disagreeing about something else in the world, when it becomes personal and you start slinging insults at that person rather than sticking to the topic, then that will cause more anger and it will cause more negativity coming back to you and creates more things, frankly, that you have to forgive or that the other person has to forgive. So what he recommends, the choice in communication, he writes, is between two approaches, adult problem solving with the focus on the issue or an ego competitive or defensive style with the focus on winning, self-assertion, and not losing face. And the latter approach is most likely to lead to bitterness. So sometimes it's really important to ask yourself, is it more important to be right or is it more important to have a good relationship with this person? So not focusing so much on winning the argument is really a way of preventing the bitterness that will create a situation in which you both have to work on forgiveness. So Don Miguel Ruiz, the author of The Four Agreements, who, by the way, was also on this program when we first started the program, he wrote in The Four Agreements, no matter how much we prevent it, there will be times that there are hurtful criticisms. And he wrote, don't take anything personally. Nothing that others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality, their own dream. And when you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So not taking it personally is one way of preventing the bitterness that leads to holding a grudge. On the other hand, as Louise Hay wrote in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, forgiveness opens our heart to self-love. That person who is the hardest to forgive is the one who can teach you the greatest lessons. And when you love yourself enough to rise above the old situation, then understanding and forgiveness will be easy and you'll be free. Forgiveness really is the critical element in our being able to find joy in life and in our relationships. I know it's hard, as I mentioned. Certainly, I can understand that from a personal perspective. I have held grudges in my life and have had difficulty overcoming resentments. And for those people that are still in my life, I've realized that in order to create any sort of positive relationships and enjoyment in our interactions, I must forgive them. Otherwise, there's no point in continuing to have that relationship if it's just going to bring pain. But it's also important, even though it may be less urgent, it's still equally important to forgive people who aren't in our lives anymore. Sometimes that's even harder on us because we have no closure. So somebody has passed away, we haven't had a chance to have a conversation to forgive each other. So we have to do that ourselves in order to keep that resentment from weighing us down and taking away our energy, because it really is very energy zapping. So as I said, the early steps of forgiveness include just having the intention to forgive and knowing that we want to forgive in order to bring freedom into our lives and enjoy our lives more. I know that many of you listening might be thinking of someone who has done something that resulted in emotional pain for you at some time in your life, and you might be thinking that you can never forgive that person. And perhaps, like many people, you believe that if you were to let go of the resentment and actually forgive someone for something that they have done to hurt you, that you would be condoning their behavior and making yourself vulnerable for that person to hurt you again or for someone else to hurt you in the same way. And I really think it's great. I really do support the idea of not allowing someone to treat you poorly. And I really encourage that you don't allow people to treat you poorly and that you don't just keep taking it over and over and over again. But you need to know that there's a big difference between forgiving someone and approving of poor treatment. So just because you decide to forgive someone doesn't mean that you ever have to hang out with that person again. Let me repeat that. Just because you decide to forgive someone doesn't mean that you ever have to hang out with that person again. So forgiving someone does not mean that you decide that they're your best friend and you're going to keep spending time with them. But it also might happen that you decide when you forgive someone that you will spend time with them. So you might decide to stick around that person. And maybe that hurtful event happened a long time ago and that person has changed their ways. Or maybe you realize that you were part of the problem at the time, that you contributed to the hurt and that the hurt was mutual. And maybe you have repaired some of the dynamics between the two of you. Or maybe you have made the decision that you forgive this person and that you're going to work with them on repairing the dynamics between the two of you so that you don't keep hurting with each other. So maybe this person is really important to you in your life and you've decided, I'm going to forgive them and we're going to work on not hurting each other anymore. We're going to have discussions that are focused on issues rather than tearing each other down, for example. And put all of that aside, whether you decide that you're going to hang out with that person or not, continue to remember that forgiveness is all about you. It's about making the decision to release the anger and the resentment that burns up your energy. And it's about increasing your own ability to feel joyful and peaceful. And about improving your own health, because as I mentioned, anger causes many health problems. And then the next step is to take responsibility for your own healing. So no one else can do this for you, and you have seen some of the negative results of not doing this, such as emotional pain, and you need to confront your pain, and that means becoming fully aware of the pain that you've experienced from your resentment. And you might want to talk to somebody that you trust about it, whether it's a friend or a mental health professional, and to discuss the pain that you've had from the resentment that you've held. And then it's important to be willing to take a new perspective about the person who you're trying to forgive. And that is try to see where they're coming from in their life. And again, that's not making excuses for them or approving of hurtful behavior, but it's realizing that people hurt others when they've been hurt themselves or when they don't know any better. Oprah Winfrey, one of her famous quotes was, "When you know better, you do better." So it's really likely that the person who hurt you was actually doing the best that they could with what knowledge or internal resources they had at that time. And even their best was not very good. But it's easier to forgive them when you can see that. And it's important to acknowledge your part in the hurt. Again, Perhaps there were things that you could have done differently at the time to bring about a different outcome. Maybe if that meant setting different boundaries with that person and letting them know that the behavior was unacceptable at the time. And then you need to forgive yourself for that part. So forgiving yourself is a really important part of this. I think that people tend to berate themselves when they've been hurt, and there's no benefit to that. You need to forgive yourself because, again, if you knew better, you would have done better. So on that note, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Laura Gelazunas will be joining us from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, to let us know what's happening with the return of the winter visitors. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hand, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour
And we are back. And if you're joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your Golden Years right here on Blog Talk Radio and on live tune-up podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us once again from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, Laura Gelazunas is on the phone. Welcome back, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? How are things in Vallarta?
Still a little toasty. Spent the day at the pool, so...
Yeah.
Just another day.
You know,
day.
We're having some toasty weather here, too. It's kind of odd for October. So, but in spite of the toasty weather, you're heading into the high season with the winter visitors down there.
Yes, the snowbirds should be coming back soon. We're trickling in right now. A lot of them come in during November, a little more after Thanksgiving, and then even more after Christmas and New Year's. So kind of like a little, it's coming in phases.
Right, right. So have activities picked up?
Oh, definitely. Things have picked up. There's going to be, of course, a big Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead celebration, which is October the 29th through November 2nd. So
mm-hmm.
There's going to be all kinds of, you know, displays and altars made all throughout town. And then there's going to be live music, dance, theater performances, street parties, parades, costume contests, and other events over those days. So,
oh, wow.
They're okay. Definitely taking it to another level this year.
So this is more than in the past, huh?
Yes. They've definitely mm-hmm. upped their game on this. Before it was just kind mm-hmm. of private celebrations, but now the city is getting involved and doing something a little more involved and
mm-hmm.
being organized
mm-hmm.
and being organized about it.
Right. Very nice.
So that's coming in. The theater is revving up again. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, for those listeners who are not familiar with Dia de los Muertos, Can you tell us what it is?
Sure. That's the holiday that celebrates our departed, you know, at the cemetery. That's where people usually, that's where most of the celebrations take place, are in the cemetery. So you're honoring and remembering your loved ones who have died. So the festival in Vallarta starts on the 31st, which also happens to be Halloween, and continues through the November 2nd. So,
and it's more of a celebration than a mourning time,
yes,
right?
Yes, you're celebrating their life. Most of the altars and displays are decorated at the gravesite, or if they're in, you know, like a restaurant, for example, that builds an altar, everybody brings a picture of their loved one and then one of the loved one's favorite things, whether it be food or a favorite ball cap or, you know, any number of things that would signify that person. So they decorate it with that. And it's a celebration of, you know, how that person lived and what they did, and people come together
right.
for that.
And there are all kinds of statues, right?
Yes. So all the Day of the Dead statues, the sugar skulls, the marigolds, all those are part of the tradition.
Okay. Yeah, in South Texas, it's a big celebration. And I think up here in Austin, they have celebrations, but it's much smaller. But as you get closer to the border, because I know it's really big in Mexico, big celebrations.
So definitely a lot of fun, and then, it, you know, that helps immerse you in the culture here.
And you were going to tell us about some other things that are happening.
What else is coming up? There's the theaters getting ready with performances again. The Act 2 Theater, live performing. There's singing, dancing. There's all kinds of shows. So they're going to kick off their new season this week. Nope, next week, sorry. Week after the last week of October. So that's gearing up already. The art walk will start taking place again at local art galleries. That'll start in the next couple of weeks as well. So lots of stuff going on.
Yeah. And are there still places for people who are just thinking about it now and saying, hey, I want to go down to Vallarta for the winter?
There certainly are. Of course, there are fewer now than there were a couple months ago, but you can still find places if you look hard enough that are for rent.
Okay. And how about for purchase? Are there still places to purchase?
There's definitely places to purchase. There are quite a few new developments in the old, what is called Old Town Vallarta. So, and I can help with those if people have questions with that. So lots of things going on there. Just getting ready for another season. We're just waiting for it to cool off a little.
Yeah, when's that going to happen?
I don't know. Hopefully soon.
You're the meteorologist.
Yeah, I know. It's just been hot the last, this is the fourth year it's been really hot for a really long time. So.
Yeah. But lots of places to cool off, lots of water.
Yes.
In.
Lots of swimming pools, the ocean. So it's going to be
really... Are people doing those stand-up boards these days?
Oh, yes. That's very popular here, stand-up paddle boarding. Stand-up paddle boarding. Yeah, S-U-P. So, yeah, that's there's several groups here that meet on a regular basis, and you can see them all over the bay. I don't know how they stay standing, but that's their trick, not mine. I haven't done it yet. I'm scared.
And then I guess when you get real hot, you just jump into the water.
I suppose so.
I haven't discovered it yet.
So
okay,
That might be on my to-do list soon.
And how about all the different benefits going on down there and the different ways
of helping?
They're
probably going to start up more in, they'll probably start up more in November. So nothing coming up immediately.
Okay.
But people are gearing up for it, though.
Okay. Okay.
Well, we're having our third debate, you know, third debate party this week.
Oh, yes. So is that at a restaurant or where?
It's at a restaurant. There are several restaurants that are having debate parties. So pretty much fun.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that for those debate parties, they make a lot of money from selling alcohol.
Yes. Our last debate party, somebody had brought ping pong balls. So if somebody said something you didn't like, you could throw a ping pong ball at the screen.
Okay.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Well, that's pretty funny. I think that's probably safer than playing a drinking game because
yeah.
I think you could get pretty sick from
all the talking points get talked out by each candidate in a relatively short amount of time.
Right.
So those have been fun.
So I know you said that the benefits will be coming up soon, but I know you have many charity groups that are busy year round.
Yes, all the charity groups are busy year-round. There's just not a big of an influx of people volunteering during the off-season because there's not as many people here.
Right.
But there's
right.
all kinds of groups if you're coming down for the first time. You can,
sure.
you know, find ones that you want to work with that are, in, you know, find causes that, you know, you're interested in and meet the people and go volunteer for a day or two. If you don't like that, you can check out another one. There's probably somewhere between 25 and 30 charities here.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so, you know, whether you want to work with children, old people, animals, the environment, you know, you name it, helping with cleanups on the weekends,
mm-hmm.
all kinds
mm-hmm.
of things going on. So you can get there just a lot of groups.
And that's a great way to meet people, right? Isn't that?
Oh, for sure. You know, you come down here, you don't know anybody. You can, you know, attend, we have spay and neuter clinics every week that are free for the public. You can meet people who like animals. You can volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
You can find out what it's all about. So, yeah.
Yeah, I always recommend to people that are looking to make friends that it's really
mm-hmm.
good to get involved with something that you enjoy doing because then you meet people. You have something to talk about. You have people who are interested in the same thing, and you have something to talk about rather than just showing up and having a conversation, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's a great way to meet people here.
Mm-hmm.
I highly
mm-hmm.
recommend it. You'll meet all kinds of people, you know, by spending a day with one or more, you know, you spend every day with a different charity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, let me ask you a question. Have you noticed a trend over the past few years of increasing numbers of people coming down for the winter or even coming down and staying year-round?
We definitely have more people coming than we have in past years, probably since the crash of 2008. Last year was probably the first really good year. So
mm-hmm.
we keep seeing the numbers go up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has definitely been a positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go by hotel occupancy rates and things like that. Yeah, the numbers have definitely gone up over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there has been a bit of recovery.
Right. And so people are also less afraid maybe of going to Mexico?
Yes, I think so. I think it's more dangerous in Chicago on a Saturday night than it is here, so.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, from everything that I've seen, that if you fly directly into someplace like Puerto Vallarta, you're pretty safe.
Yes, oh, for sure. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you go out looking for trouble, you're going to find it.
Right, you don't want to be out on a country road by yourself.
No, not that. Definitely not. And a lot of snowbirds do drive down here, so.
Do they?
I wish they'd leave their cars at home, though.
Yeah.
And you can definitely see an increase in traffic in the winter.
Really? Okay. But they take, you know, main highways.
Yeah, you
right.
want to stay on what are called the toll roads.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And just like anywhere. I mean, I wouldn't drive on the highways at night in the United States. I mean,
Right.
You know, you're not going to get up on some little side road or something. You're going to stay on the interstate. So I would definitely make that same suggestion for traveling down here.
Right, right. Just common sense.
Exactly.
Safety tips. Don't walk anywhere alone at night, especially if you're a woman, and don't drive off on the little side roads when you don't even know where you are at night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, just like you said, common sense.
So, Laura, if people are interested in finding out more about what's going on in Vallarta, as well as rentals or real estate to purchase, what are some of the ways that they can do that?
Well, they can go to banderasnews.com, BanderasNews.com. It's the biggest website in the Bay, and they're the only one that is updated daily, so definitely give them a check. You can check out my website, my YouTube channel, which can be found through tvpuertovallarta.com. And if people are interested in purchasing real estate or have questions about buying real estate in Mexico, they can check out my website, puertovallartacondosforsale.com. I got all my keywords in there, though. So that's how they can check out all of those things.
Okay. And they can contact you through your website?
Yes, they can.
Okay, great. Great. I will post all of those on my web post as usual.
Awesome.
All right, Laura. So we'll be on in 2 weeks, which I believe will be during your Dios de los Muertos. Will you be,
awesome.
Will you be available?
I will certainly be available.
All right. Let us know what's going on. It'll be
a
busy weekend. It'll be fun. Well, you have a good evening.
Okay, you too.
Thanks, and stay
cool
in Vallarta. All right.
Trying. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will be joined by Sissy Gilio, musician in California. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
About memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
You think I still love you, you think I still care. I just want to look and see you not there. Thank you.
right here at Blog Talk Radio and on live stream at podcast.americartel.com. And now joining us from California, musician Sissy Gilio. Are you
Hello.
There, Sissy? Hey,
I'm
Sissy.
Here.
I think
you
we're
hear
getting
me?
Some. Yes, I think you need to turn down the sound of your radio.
Oh, okay. Let's
we're getting
do
feedback.
That right now.
Yeah.
Okay. My bad.
All
sorry.
Right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. So just
okay.
So you know, when we talk like this, there's a slight delay. Okay?
Oh, okay.
So how are you this evening?
I'm terrific, actually. It's a beautiful day in California. Got a little bit of a breeze, and I'm a rider. I ride a Harley, so I'm out enjoying the clean air, riding music,
nice.
And listening to good live music.
Very nice. So, Sissy, before we talk about what you've been doing musically these days, why don't you talk a little bit about your musical history?
Okay, shall we start at the beginning?
Sure, wherever
okay.
you want.
okay, well, it started when I was very, very young. I always knew that I was going to play music. I don't know how I knew, but it was back in second grade when a teacher asked us to draw who we wanted to be when we grew up. I think it was first grade, maybe. And everybody drew firemen and doctors and stuff like that. I drew a singer. And I have no idea
uh-huh.
where that came from, but it was just something that was always in me. So I'll never forget that. And my cousin is a composer. He's actually a pretty famous composer in Asia, in China. And I remember sitting down at the piano with him when I was five. And he would play notes and ask me to sing the notes, and I would hit them on key. And he would tell my parents, Sissy's got a real gift for music. We need to get her in music. So he gave me my first piano, which was a spinet piano. And no lessons, but I learned how to play for a little bit. But that moved on to playing violin when I was about 8 years old, and I always knew that music was going to be my love. However, my true love of music really was with the guitar, and I didn't get my first guitar till I was 15 years old. So I think that my musical endeavor started when I was young, but it really got serious when I was in my teens, and
mm-hmm.
just listening to bands like Led Zeppelin and The Who and 10 years after, and just sitting down with the records and trying to figure out what those notes were, how do you make chords, and pretty much self-taught. And so it started way back then, and it's been this journey ever since.
And I understand that you're an accomplished guitarist now.
Yeah, I've got about 40 some years under my belt with it, and it's always been great. I have a motto. I say that music's never broken my heart.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
so it's always been true to me. And I've played music. I've done recordings, many recordings for a lot of up and coming artists, some that have done well on an indie level, and some that have just been friends that write songs that ask me to record. So I do a lot of stuff like that, and I'm also a live performing artist. I play as a solo artist with my guitar all the way up to
mm-hmm.
an 8-piece band. I play in a tribute band. Yeah, it's really fun. I play in a tribute band called Heart, and I've also worked on cruise ships since 2007.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
So you're busy.
I try to be as busy as I can. It's you spread yourself
mm-hmm.
thin, but that's what you do. It's a feast or famine life, and, you know, you make the best of what you got.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, we've had Steve Bipper and Sandy James on the show. They play with you in that tribute band.
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. Oh, that's awesome. I didn't they never told me that.
Oh,
it's
really?
Funny because we're roommates.
Yeah. They've been on the program. So how often do you perform?
Well, I perform anywhere from 2 to 6 nights a week.
That's
and
great.
Yeah, it's really good. The thing is that in Southern California, you have a lot of people that are starstruck and, you know, have their dreams. And so they come out to California. So it makes it sometimes challenging to be a working musician in California. Sometimes we just have to venture off and go to different areas and different states to make a
living,
basically.
Right. So do you have any CDs with any of your music?
I don't have any CDs. However, I am a songwriter, and I do have songs getting ready to be recorded. I'm hoping that by next year I will have my own CD completely recorded and mastered and ready to go on sale. That is my goal.
Great.
I've been busy doing other things, and so sometimes those things have to get put on hold.
Sure.
Just for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
But I do write songs, and I wish I had something to play for you that was an original, but I don't really have anything in this ready to hear state kind of.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But we did just listen to you before you came on the air. We listened to one of your covers. Can you tell us about that?
I will, actually. That song was written from a good friend of mine. His name is David Kaufman. And David Kaufman is he's a very prolific songwriter, very talented, very, very talented gentleman. And he writes songs for people that request a certain genre. So if you noticed when listening to that song, it sounds very much like a Bon Jovi song, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was asked to write something that was like that song, and it was for an artist. I believe it was one of the artists on one of those reality shows. Not The Voice, the one before that. I don't watch TV much, so.
Okay.
American Idol, that's the one.
Oh, okay.
American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just doing a demo for him, and that's what that song is. But it was fun. It's just one of the things that I've recorded. And
Okay. And we're going to play another one of the songs that you sent us, or a piece of that. Which song is that? Do you know what you sent us?
I think it was These Dreams, if I'm not mistaken. And I believe it's a live recording. And it is with the band Heart to Heart.
Okay.
With Sandra,
so it's
James, and Steve Zipper.
And that's the Heart song then?
I believe so.
Okay. So we're going to play a little bit of it, and then we'll be right back. So don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All the time on a watch with no hand. I want
is Sissy Gilio. So, Sissy, if people are listening and they want to find out where you're playing, when you're playing, do you have a website where people can get your calendar?
You know, the beauty about Facebook is that it's the best networking tool. So all you have to do is just check out Sissy Gilio, and my name is S-I-S-S-Y. My last name is G-I-L-I-O. So if you just go to Sissy Gilio on Facebook, you can friend me. And I always post my show dates or what I'm doing, because you never know when I'm going to be in someone else's town. The beauty about it is you got friends all over the world. So I've played in so many different places and states where I've had people come up to me and say, Sissy, we're friends on Facebook. Thank you for posting it. It's such a pleasure to meet you. So I don't even bother with a website anymore. I just use Facebook. It's such a great networking tool.
Okay, so I'm going to post a link to your Facebook page on my web post about this show later tonight, so people can just click on it and your page. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on the program this evening.
I'm honored to be a guest on your program. Thank you for having me.
And I hope to get to hear you guys perform someday.
Definitely. Well, you know, you're in New York, is that right?
Well, no, I'm in Austin, Texas. So
I'd love to go there. It's one of my destinations. I would love to go there. You know, you never know.
Yes, it's a musician's dream.
Yes, it is. As a matter of fact, I play with several musicians that are from the area, so a lot of great talent comes out of Austin. But I'll tell you what, if it's okay, as soon as I do have some recordings, I'd love to send them to you, and maybe we can do this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please do. Okay?
Okay. Well, great. Thank you so much, and have a really, really beautiful afternoon.
All right. You too. Have a good evening.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So before we go off the air, I want to let everybody know what's happening next week. We'll be back here Sunday, October 9th, and we will be live in our Austin studio with Roland Chemokai, who is the president of Global Empowerment Institute, and he is a 20-year experienced inspirational speaker, author, certified life and business coach, and a talented musician. And he has a very interesting story. He recently published his memoir, Sunuma, telling his story about being abandoned as a three-month-old baby in Liberia, West Africa. And he was adopted and lived through the violent civil war in Sunuma, in Liberia. And Sunuma tells this whole story, and it's quite inspirational. He eventually graduated as valedictorian, and he is joining us next week to talk about overcoming adversity. So I think that will be a really interesting discussion, and we'll be videotaping so you can watch it later. All right, and if you want to hear this program again and read the information from this show, get the website link that we talked about, go to my website, drmaricarpel.com. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years. And you can hear this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, BLOG, talkradio.com/Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald Revere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by Storyhouse. A special thanks to my guests, Steve Kane, Sissy Gilio, Laura Gelazunis, and of course, thank you to Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night. I'm having trouble getting the words out. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth have no age. Good night, everyone.
You think I still love you? You think I still care? I just want to look and see you not there.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.